Once again, this session is all about the church security ministry. Many times I think about church security and such, and I think about Nehemiah back in the day when they were building the wall. And Nehemiah 4:9, which I believe is, I always think about that when I think about church security. And that entire chapter, actually, chapter 4 of Nehemiah, it says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." And I believe back then, even back then in biblical times, they had, they knew that they needed security against those who were opposed to how what they thought, what they preached, what they believed. So even back then, there was the need for a security system or a security program in their to take care of their folks. And I think of, can you answer that? Somebody's talking in my ear. And also in Luke 11:21, it says, "When a strong man keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." So I believe in taking it. This is our palace. This is our what we've been blessed with, Lancaster Baptist Church. Just like you folks have been blessed with your church family, your everything that the Lord has blessed you with, you're responsible for. You need to do your part in keeping that as a safe place, a place where people can continue to come to church, continue to feel safe, continue to do the Lord's work, continue to see souls saved. So point number one, it says the need for a security ministry. A lot of people, you'll hear it as, why do we need a security ministry? And 20 years ago, you would have never thought about that. You would have never thought about needing a security ministry for a church. But we live in a different society, a society which, and we'll get to an next point, that a lot of folks don't care about Christians. And so a lot of people, I've had people ask me this question, won't God protect us? And to which I always say, well, wasn't God protecting the folks in Sutherland Springs, Texas? Anytime there's a church shooting, wasn't the Lord protecting them? And I believe the Lord gives us wisdom and how to protect ourselves. But a lot of folks, they don't get it, and they don't have perhaps that discernment. And some people say, it can't happen here. And, you know, chances are it won't happen here or at your church. But what if it does? What if you're not ready? And so I believe that as part of the need for the security ministry, you need to protect everyone, not only your pastor, your families. And we'll get to those other points in a minute, but there's many needs for a church security program. So, and right now, point two, the world has become intolerant of Christianity. Every time you turn on the TV or you go on the internet, people are speaking out against Christians. It has become the song of some networks, cable networks, to bash Christianity every chance they get. And I believe that just adds fuel to the fire, and many people, they don't realize what Christianity really is. How we are a loving people. We're doing the commandments of the Lord and trying to reach people. And we don't reach them by saying, if you don't become what we are, we're going to kill you, as some religions say, and some religions that call themselves a peaceful religion. So Christians and Christianity are being attacked daily around the world. The media is often critical of Christianity. And churches are often considered soft targets. You look at, I have a friend who's staying with us for the leadership conference. He's a pastor from New Zealand. And as you remember, a few months ago, there was that shooting at the mosque in New Zealand. A crazy man killed, I think, over 50 people there. And why? Because they, different kind of country, different kind of beliefs there, different kind of mentality when it comes to church security. So we as a church shouldn't be considered a soft target. So we need to do that. We need to be aware of that Christianity is looked down upon by so many groups. And point three, leading your church or your security ministry. This is something very important. Your pastor, Brother Mundy, you have to have a person that you feel comfortable in leading that ministry, because that ministry, it could either keep you safe or it can be the downfall of your ministry. You know, if the wrong person is put in there, your ministry could be destroyed. Because a lot of guys, I shouldn't say a lot of guys, some people think that, okay, we're the tough guys on the block and we're going to do, we're going to keep people down and do all these kind of things. And really, it should be, the ministry should be thinking, okay, how do we protect our ministry, our pastor, our people, so that we can further the gospel, further tell people about Jesus? Because without the Lord, we don't have anything. So you have to, your pastor, whoever your pastor is, how many pastors in here, by the way? Brother Monday, back there, two, three, three pastors, four pastors. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to the conference. So you men have to decide who the team members are going to be, and you have to use very a lot of discernment on who that person is or persons are, because the wrong person, like I said, it can destroy a ministry as well as help it. But so you need to know what kind of qualifications your people are going to have. A lot of churches, we believe in law enforcement. We're law enforcement guys. They know, they've seen everything, not everything, but they've gone through a lot of trials, and they've seen things daily that some people don't see. Most of the time, they're pretty good about judging people. They can see a person and say, okay, that person reminds me of this or whatever. And you see people come to church by the score. And here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we see people on a weekly basis who, big church, so you see people who come to church, and you have to deal with them. And I've been assaulted on this campus. I've been threatened with my life right back over here. We've had people come in, got straight out of prison, had a big old ISIS flag tattooed on the side of his temple here. And this is a regular basis. We see those kind of people all the time. So you have to make sure your team members on the security team are people who can deal with those kind of folks. And you know, we want to be loving, but at the same time, we have to be discerning when we deal with those kind of folks. More than anything, I believe you have to have a servant's heart. You have to know your pastor's heart, and you have to follow your pastor's leading. Point number four, and this is a tough one, and it's, will team members be armed? I believe if you're not, you're making a big mistake. I believe that your state will govern whether you're going to be armed or how you're going to be armed, but I believe that you should be legally armed. And it's a big thing. And some states, some churches, they hire off-duty law enforcement. In some states, it's real easy to do that. You know, basically, you pay a guy $20 an hour to be your security. And I know lots of churches back in Texas that do exactly that. But it can be very expensive, too. Here in Los Angeles County, very, extremely expensive to do that. And it could be cost prohibitive to do that. So. You know, some churches, like I said, you have to think of, will the team members be identified anyway? I've seen churches where the security team actually has a something that says security on, a big security banner on them, and I kind of don't like that. I want my security guys to blend in with everybody. I don't want there to be a red flag because, you know, a lot of bad guys, who's the first guy they're going to shoot? It's a guy that says, shoot me first. Or just like some states have open carry. I'm a big opponent of open carry. I believe if you should be able to carry concealed, because if I were a bad guy and I'm going to try to do something bad, who's the first guy I'm going to shoot? The guy who I know is going to give me opposition. So I like concealed carry. And will your team members consist of law enforcement? Hopefully you have members in your church that are law enforcement. Many churches don't. I've talked to guys who have two guys in their security team. A guy who's been around forever and an 18-year-old. It's tough for an 18-year-old to make those kind of decisions that might depend on life and death. So you have to make sure you know who your team members are, that there are discerning team members. And it's also good to have unarmed team members. We have guys in our security team who are unarmed, but we like to, they are a vital part of our group because they are just another set of eyes. So, and you have to remember that, okay, so you have these team members and they're armed, so you'll need to talk about training and how to train. Brother Odenthal is going to talk about training in his session coming up right after lunch. And so training is a big thing. I believe in training. I just went to a handgun school less than 2 weeks ago and trained for 4 days. And I believe in training. It's my fiber. I can't recommend training enough to you folks. And find competent training and do it. many layers of a 0.5, the many layers of a church security team. It's sort of like an onion. You know, the center, the closer you go to the center of the onion, the sweeter it gets. And man, I love sweet onions. You ever go to Outback and that blooming onion? Boy, I love that thing. But so you have to be, your security team has to be like just like that, like an onion. You have to have a parking lot team, because these are basically the first people to see anyone that comes into the church property. A lot of the guys, we have a tremendous parking lot team. And these guys are all, they're on the radio too. They're communicating with the rest of the teams. They are on a separate frequency. And I get to that in the next point, but we have everyone connected by radio. So the next folks you might see are the greeters. The greeters, just like if you think about, I think it was Bellevue Baptist Church here in Memphis, Tennessee, a few years ago. And they had a gentleman come to church, and he had a gun. He had a gun, I think, on his waist. And he had a backpack, and he also had guns in his backpack. I think he had an AR rifle in his backpack. And who was the first person to spot him? A greeter. And the greeters contacted the security team, and they were able to stop this person. This person turned out to be mentally ill. And unfortunately, that's one of the things you're going to have to deal with as on security teams. Mentally ill people are, you'll face them more than you face anybody else, I believe. So the greeter, there's a parking lot team, the greeters and the ushers. I believe the ushers tend to be the first folks that really take a discerning look at people, especially our group of ushers. We have lots of guys who are wise, and we all work as a team, and tremendous people. And so they quite often say, hey, we see this person over here, and we'll keep an eye on them. Next part of the team is the internal security team. Those are the folks that are typically in the church building, who do maybe pastoral security and who are just watching out for the rest of the church family. Very vital to the team. And of course, your church members, just regular church members. I'll tell a story about my wife. My wife is very astute when it comes to, I gotta unplug that or I'll be listening to that. Very astute. She'll say, hey, are you guys watching that guy? She has so much wisdom, and she'll see somebody that I haven't seen yet, or we haven't seen yet, and she'll say, that guy bears watching. And I'll say, oh, okay, yeah, good, good, good. I think Brother Frank's wife is very much the same way, Brother Odie's wife, same way. We need as many sets of eyes on the property looking for people who could cause problems. Because you know what? We can't see everything. The more eyes that you have looking, the better it'll be, and the easier it'll be for us. Point six, the tools of the ministry. I believe that one of the great things about this ministry is if we need something, we have to ask for it. But one of the best things we do, how we communicate, is radios. We have a tremendous radio system here. We have a repeater, so our radios will reach out. We can talk several miles away from the campus. And so I know that I've had radios. We try to use radios here on campus where if you went more than one building or room into a building, then you lost all kind of communication. So it pays to have quality equipment and good radios, something that has some power to them. But because just like the person that was talking in my ear a minute ago, I don't know where he's at on the property, but he's somewhere on the property. And you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to say, hey, we see this guy over here. You need to be able to say, alert the rest of the team members, be watching for this guy, here's his description, and to go from there. Cell phones are an alternative. Yeah, they're good, but I kind of think that you sort of limit yourself by that, because with a radio, you can broadcast to everybody at the same time, and everybody hears you at the same time. So I'm all about that. And we're working on getting a radio/video control center where we are, Brother Blakely's is the church security director and the college security director. And he has a room, he has a gazillion cameras in there, and we want to make that an area where we can control, be like a dispatch, so we could send people to different places and such if we see something, or it's a good place to monitor things. Number seven, I'm trying to get through these fast. The threats you most likely will be dealing with. You'll be dealing with domestic disputes. How many times have you had a person come to your property that's mad at their wife, or the wife is mad at them, or the husband wants to take the children because there's a restraining order and he can't have the children, and he is mad? So you're going to deal with these kind of things more so than what we all think of active shooters, terrorists, that kind of stuff. Probably minute chance that that'll happen. More often than not, you will have problems with the husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, that kind of stuff. One of the big things you'll deal with are the mentally ill. I was assaulted by a person who's mentally ill. And, you know, it could happen. You see, we had a person Monday night. I'll tell you this short story. Monday night that while the church service started, we had to respond to a property that we rent from. And there was a mentally ill person there, and we had to detain him while the deputies came out and arrested him because he's mentally ill. He was destroying our property, and it was kind of sad, but he was mentally ill. We see people, mentally ill people, here on campus all the time. They come through looking for help, and we're all about helping people, but we like for people to help themselves too. So one of the other things you may have to deal with, if you have a nursery, guess who wants to destroy your children? It's the pedophiles, the sex offenders, those kind of people. They will go to a church if they have a large nursery department, because they want what's in those little children. And that's sad to say. I hate to say it, but it's the very truth. It's the very truth. They want nothing more than to go in there and destroy families. And guess what? If your family or your church family gets attacked that way, it could destroy your ministry in a heartbeat. If a child were to get molested or hurt or killed or something because you didn't do something, guess what? Your ministry could be gone. And I'll tell you a short story about this point. Someone who could not take no for an answer. We've recently had a person who, an older gentleman, and he came to the church a couple months ago, started trying to get close to our widows. Several widows he made very uncomfortable. This person, I believe, was, I can't tell you what I believe he was. Believe what he is, but anyway, he was trying to get close to our widows, several of our widows. He made them very uncomfortable. They were crying. So finally, we had to go to this person and said, "You're no longer welcome here." And he didn't like that. You know, he did not like that we were telling him what he couldn't do. And it was sad. I felt bad for our widows because they were put in that position, and we didn't know. Once we found out about it, we put a stop to it. But now our widows are smiling again, because they don't have to put up with this person who was making them feel very uncomfortable. Parolees and felons, the guys who threatened my life, is parolee. Guy with the tattoo, parolee. They will come out of prison and sometimes looking for help. And like I say, we're all about helping people. We want people to be saved. And if we have to do our part there, though, to protect our church family and to have discernment to run background checks and to find out why this person was in prison. You definitely have to be careful with pedophiles. Here in California, there are 290 registrants. That's a penal code. They're registered sex offenders. So you have to be careful about those folks and really very careful. And last of all, I believe one of the things you may have to worry about, obviously, are active shooters or terrorists. I think there's probably a minuscule chance that that'll happen, but you have to be prepared. And how do you be prepared? You have to have a security team. You have to have a team who is aware of the things that are going on. I know that the night before, every Sunday morning, and every Sunday morning, I'm on the internet. I'm looking for things that might have happened in Southern California, that somebody may have shot up a church or attacked a synagogue or something in our area within a couple hundred miles of us, because they can come to your place, just like that shooting in Colorado a few years ago, where the guy shot up this, brother, Hunter, you know about that, and shot up this place, and he came to this place that supported them, killed two people there. And I talked to the guy who was the head of security at that place, and he said he was so unprepared when that happened. This is what's kind of funny. He carried a gun for security, but he only carried a 32 caliber handgun. 32? And so he realized the error of his ways, and so now his life is completely different. And the lives of that family who lost those two, I think, daughters that were shot. So, you know, many threats out there, and the church security ministry is something that you have to have to have. I this morning as I was reading my Bible, about I woke up at 4 o'clock thinking about this, and I was reading Proverbs, a proverb a day plus my regular Bible reading, and the first part of Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge," and I believe that. I love instruction, and like I said, I love to train. And the more training I have, the more knowledge I have, the better I am, the better I can deal with every kind of situation that might come across my path. And I believe it in what the Lord said in Luke 22:38. I believe this was probably had to do with the Second Amendment back in biblical times. In Luke 22:38, and they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It is enough." So I believe the Lord believed in self-defense back then, and even though he could, you know, he could take care of anything that came across his path, I believe he was telling his people, "You're going to be persecuted, so you need to protect yourself." And I believe that we, as a security team, we need to protect ourselves. We need to protect. This is my philosophy. I'm going to protect when I'm in that auditorium, or whenever I'm on this property, I'm looking to protect myself, because without John being able to protect anybody else, I have to be able to do that first. I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to protect whoever's in the church family. I'm going to protect my pastor. I love my pastor. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him. So this ministry was built because we believe in prayer and hard work. Every stick that's been built on out here has been because of faith. We prayed hard. We've given hard. We've done what it takes to build all this, not for ourselves, but for the valley, so people could come and know the Lord. And we've seen many, many people get saved. I think that's about it. You must be ready to protect everyone from the nurseries to your pastor. I believe that security team, you'll probably be the most overworked team in your ministry, a volunteer team, because every time you're on the campus, your eyes should be open. You should be looking. Okay, who's this? Who's that? And not out of fear, but out of wisdom. And my new theme, or I believe in this vigilante semper. Always vigilant, no matter where I'm at. If I'm church campus, I want to be vigilant. I want to see people saved, most importantly. But I want to protect our people. I want to protect the ones I love, the ones that mean the most to me. And I appreciate you being here. This has been real quick, but I hope you've gotten something out of it. And now I'm going to turn it over to our panel discussion, and I'll let everyone introduce themselves. Richard?
I'm Richard Odenthal. I worked for the L.A. Sheriff's Department for 35 years. I retired as a command level officer, as a captain. For the majority of that time, I either worked in South Central Los Angeles, which serves as our ghetto, or I worked in our Emergency Operations Bureau, which was responsible for developing plans and staffing and running major events, everything from earthquakes, riots, to personal protection. I was our personal protection representative for 5 presidents. During their visits here in Southern California, I did the rollout for the B-2 bomber. I delivered 4 space shuttles to NASA from the security standpoint. And I also was an adjunct faculty member on the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Hate Crimes. So I've done hate in churches for a number of years. I retired, proud to say, 19 years ago, and I keep beating the odds, because most deputy sheriffs don't collect more than 25 checks when they retire. So I've been doing this for a long time. I came to this church, and quite frankly, I got saved at this church in 2007, and I intended to sit somewhere comfortably in the back row of the church and just kind of listen and learn and, you know, just grow old gracefully. And that didn't happen. Whatever the Lord nudged me into trying to solve some of the problems that I just naturally saw here. And believe me, church security has become my personal ministry. I've got five churches waiting for me to go visit them just to talk about their own security plan. So that's what I've been doing. I've got all but completed, three master's degrees, an MBA, an MPA, and one in history. I'm a history person. And so I've had the opportunity to study the battles of the Bible firsthand with some things. That's where I came up with some of this stuff. So, as somebody pointed out, I think Jim Mattis pointed out when he's a Marine Corps general, that we've been fighting on this planet for more than 5,000 years, most of it religious security. And we had to have learned something in that time. And that's been my motivation, is protecting this church, my church family, our pastor. Okay, Frank, you're up.
Frank Kichocho, been a member here about us. As a lieutenant, so I worked on both the operations part of being a lieutenant and the patrol side, just here at the sister city in Palmville. But before that, much like Brother Odenthal, I worked East LA as a patrol deputy, worked Lenox Station, South Central LA, the Vermont District. Worked their surveillance and apprehension team, conducting surveillances and apprehension of robbery suspects, burglaries in progress, stuff like that. Transitioned to the cops team, and then also worked 7 years as an undercover narcotics detective. Went on promoted to be a supervisor, and that's when I worked down at the South Central LA area. And then went and worked at Internal Affairs, and part of Internal Affairs I worked with was called the response team. So I responded a lot to the officer-involved shootings involving LA Sheriff's Department personnel. And I was there for about 5 or 6 years, worked for the chief's aide, promoted out of there, and then recently retired. So always been involved in security here. I got here in 1996, and there was a fledgling security team just developing. They asked me to help. So I started helping out here and there as much as I could. So fast forward 23 years, we're here now. So Brother Alvarez, he presented a very well condensed overview of what our church ministry consists of here. Basically, we're not a perfect church. We're not a perfect ministry, security ministry. We're always trying to train and better ourselves. We rely heavily on Brother Odenthal's wisdom and his expertise in training and education. We consult with him a lot. Just to better our team here. Let me just go and touch on some of the stuff that I feel, just to add to Brother John's overview here. I know your pastor, right? Brother Monday, your pastor, the other pastors here, I don't know how big your churches are, whether you have a small church of 20 people or a big church of 2,000 or 4,000. The security ministry is not all about law enforcement. It's not all about just all we want are law enforcement guys that are armed with guns. No, in fact, in this ministry models itself over augmenting and supplementing the security ministry with, yes, law enforcement obviously guys are bound by their policies and procedures and training. They're the armed guys, they're the professionals. Okay, if your church has those people, then you reach out to them, ask them if they can help you. But if not, then you need to reach out to military personnel. I've got a military background, Brother Williams has a military background, reach out to those guys. We like guys that know what it is to take an order, know what it is, are methodical in their thinking, but also have, like Brother John said, now I could care less about a police officer, deputy sheriff who's armed, who thinks he's all about it. If he's got a pride issue, then you know what? He doesn't belong on my team. I mean, I'm just laying it out there. I mean, that's just, I work East LA and I work Lenox and we speak a different language, but I'm just laying it out. I don't care for people that have pride that are gonna come, like Brother John said, come into the organization and destroy our work because it's all about me, or I was a Marine Corps guy, and I was an Army Ranger, or I was a Special Forces guy. No, if you got that attitude, you don't belong on my team. We're going to give you, and we do have a process. Well, you know, okay, let's look at this guy. He just joined. He's a member of the church. Just joined. He's either got, Special Forces background, Army Ranger background, whatever, Navy SEAL guy, retired guy, or active law enforcement guy. So we vet the guy. Let's see what he is for 6 months to a year. Let's see what his attitude is like. And if he's got that discerning spirit of wisdom, we got to watch him, vet him. And like John says, if he's got a heart to serve the ministry and own our pastor's heart, okay, then we want him on our team. He's got to get along with everybody across the board. So, back to that, it's not all about law enforcement. We pick guys that have private security backgrounds, corporate security backgrounds, and even guys that are very knowledgeable in security work. I mean, we'll tend to, and then like John said, we'll do the armed guys, the unarmed guys. We have a very diverse and mixed, complex team of security guys. So that's how we operate on our level. You need to be aware of your state laws. Obviously, I wish I lived in the South. It's carte blanche, open carry, or whatever. I mean, this is like probably what? I don't know, Woody, is this the worst state in the nation as far as liability and gun restriction laws? I mean,
New
it's
York.
Just crazy. I mean, here July 1st, you got to register now, or what is it? Do a background check
right,
to get
buy background ammo. Check to buy ammo.
To buy ammunition. It's just insanity. But anyways, but the three things I kind of want to touch upon, especially to you pastors. And then, and I'm glad when I retired, I hadn't shot in like 2.5 years because I was pending a medical injury, a neck surgery, and all that stuff. So John forced me to go to this front sight training. John hit a nail. Do whatever training your church members need. We go to front sight, go to gun sight, go to you got 1,000 different, organizations, agencies out there that give all kinds of firearms training. Take advantage of it, take your people to that, and send them those things. But here's the caveat. Active law enforcement area personnel are covered by their department, off duty and on duty. Now, when it comes to, even in the southern states or the states that allow you your open carry and concealed carry, you're still bound by the law. So there's tactical issues involved. Okay, he pulls out, let's say it's just one of your church members, no military background, no law enforcement background, but yet he's authorized to carry a weapon. So he pulls out the weapon, engages the bad guy, puts him down, but a bullet ricochets and hits a child or another member or whatever. So now, okay, I would say 99% nationwide, tactically he's gonna be covered because he took the bad guy down, he minimized the carnage, he eliminated the threat. But then there's another person that got hit, a church member, an innocent member. So criminally, 99.9%, the DA is not gonna, the district attorney's not gonna file any charges against him. He did a good job, he took the bad guy out. But civilly now, what is gonna happen to that church member or that person who acted out of good heart, out of a pure heart. So in my mind now that I'm retired and I'm asking, Brother Odenfall here, I go, okay, what have you done to secure, and these are things you gotta think as a civilian. How am I gonna protect my assets, my house, my cars, my children, or my retirement, or whatever investments I have, because I'm protected tactically. Criminally, the district attorney may, more likely will not file any charges against me because I took the bad guy out. But civilly, that person, maybe he's a visiting member and got nicked or shot or whatever. That's a whole different area that you're just going to open a whole can of worms. So you got to protect yourself. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now with different umbrella policies to protect myself and now that I'm on the retirement side of the law. So beyond that, pastors, you are the signature of your church. You are the face of your church. You need to reach out to whoever, like you just said, Pastor Monday, couple of you guys, your church members or SWAT team members, they good, reach out. Those guys are probably top level, top notch. Use them to your advantage. Have them train up your team. I don't know what the other pastor here is. One guy a few months ago was here in a conference, and he goes, he was just a small church pastor, and he's the youth pastor, and he goes, well, who am I going to reach? Who's my security ministry? I go, it's you. You need to protect your pastor. And he goes, well, he's all over the campus. I go, well, somehow you got to figure out where you got to shadow your pastor, because he is your signature of your church. He's the face of your church. He's the engine of the church. He's the preacher. So whatever you got to take to make that happen, reach out. Start small. You don't have to be as big as we are. We're just trying to, in the beginning it was piecemeal. Now it's kind of getting to where we're codifying documents and putting together manuals and policies to protect ourselves. And the other thing too is when you start making documents and doing these policies, we always tend to run it. Brother Owenthal, he's a national expert on emergency response type incidents. But also, you should also consider calling Dr. Gibbs' office up and running stuff by his staff just for liability purposes. And we've done it a handful of times, if not probably all the time. And then Brother Albert talked to you about layers of security. Yeah, it's the assimilation team we have here. Starts with the parking lot people, then the greeters, and then the ushers. And then we got the internal team that's separate that watches pastor. It's the pastoral team. So, and even with that, I think Brother Oldall mentioned just a week ago, and he goes, we need to start considering drones. And the drones will give us another capability, another level of just gridding off this whole, John, 120 acres?
100 acres.
Campus. I mean, it's one thing about this campus compared to other churches I've been to in Houston, it's like it's contained. We have so many entrances and exits in that worship center. This is an open campus. Pastor's heart is, no, I don't want fences put up. I want an open campus where people can believe that they can just come in and freely visit and worship the church. Okay, so now we know what pastor's heart is. So now we got to adjust our security mindset to how are we going to get around this campus? It just kills us almost on a daily basis. How are we going to provide security for not just the church, the nursery, the ongoing Sunday school classes, the children's classes, the Spanish ministry that's housed, runs almost 1,500 down at the hangar there, the gym. It's just inconceivable. I mean, you got to think about transporting people, using little golf carts. I mean, it's just huge. But anyways, those are just possibilities to think of. And you just got to keep building up upon it. Don't get frustrated. It's frustrating, but don't get frustrated. I mean, the Lord will give you wisdom and foresight. So,
do you have a question?
No.
And then mentioning on domestic disputes almost every day on a daily basis. I mean, that happens. Just make sure you target those areas. You gotta select a staff member to address the issues of difficult people. Set up those appointments just like the old man that John had mentioned. Hey, you're in the radar. Don't do this to our old folks. So you got to designate staff has got to confront these people who are threats to your church, whether it's a domestic issue or a pedophile issue. Pedophile, I think not too long ago, we put somebody on the guy, right? We made it difficult for the guy. You just got to make it happen. It's our children, our friends' children that's at stake here, with these pedophiles and parolees. So it's a mindset. The mindset is, and I hate to say this, but there will be carnage. You can't, you may try to prevent and deter it as much as you can, but once the bomb goes off or the shooting goes off or the gun gets past security, there's going to be carnage, but the main thing is to minimize the carnage and to eliminate the threat, period. That's all we're trying to do here is contain it. So that's my little 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
We
open it up to discussion.
Thank you, Frank. What we'd like to do, folks, I know that lunchtime is probably lunchtime right now. I think it's 12:15. I think lunch starts at 12:15?
12.
12? Okay.